Hi, welcome, and thank you for tuning in on Yachting International Radio. My name is Eveliana Veldkamp, and you are listening to Maritime Unity. Today, we will talk with Hunt Ettrich on relationships. Hi, Hunt.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here.
Very nice to have you on our show today. First of all, I hope I pronounced your name correctly.
Absolutely perfectly. I'm not going to try the same to pronounce yours perfectly. So you're better than I am on this one.
Maybe. My name is Ava. That's always really easy, right?
Yes.
Thank you for being here. Maybe we can start with a little introduction of yourself. So can you please tell us who you are and what you do and what you love to do?
Sure. Yeah. But my name is Hunt Ettrich. I am a love expert. I am a dating coach, matchmaker, advice columnist, consultant. Built a couple of companies, and I love it. I love being in the industry. I've been doing it for over 15 years now, and even my own tagline is changing the world one smile at a time. It's the little things, and I love the fact that my job is to make people happy. And I am the lucky enough that I'm married with two little girls. I can learn things in my work that I bring into my relationship, and there's things that I can learn in my relationship that I can bring into my work. So it actually works well. And Zillily, it looks like I have proof of concept because I'm married with kids. So I'm going to go with maybe I do somewhat. Every once in a while, I know what I'm talking about. But I love it. It's because it's such a driving force in our brain. It's the number two driving force in our brain, other than staying alive, putting mating and dating and relationships all together. It's human nature on literal steroids. So your brain's going bonkers with this crazy drive, and it's no wonder that it can be confusing and challenging and crazy even, and puts us through the ringer, because it's everything is always easy to see from the outside than the inside as well too. And you can tell yourself all you want to yourself about who you are, but until you go through some of these things, that's where you find out who you are, what your value system is, how to attract that value system to you. Things should be based less on interests and more on that foundational stuff. But these are a lot of things that come with time. And also, this is a skill set, like anything else, like tennis or learning German. And you can learn it and you can practice it and you can get better at it. And you can end identifying what it is out there. Because there's two parts, right? There's identifying what's going on. And now with this data, what do I do with it? How do I maximize my benefits? So I'm passionate, fascinated, love it. Also, because every single person on the planet basically has some experience in it. Even no experience is experience in and of itself. So if I happen to be a civil engineer or something like that, one, find a few people that knew what that was. Two, that would actually like to engage with me on what my job was. But because of being in this, it's almost like I'm a doctor. In a way, I'll be at a party like, oh, you're what? Okay. So last night I was out on this date, right? And I was like, okay, let's go. Yeah. What happened? But I love it. It's what I do. And it all comes down to human relationships, just interpersonal skills with two human beings, regardless of where they are on what spectrum, communicate well with each other, respect each other, understand where each other come from, and then build a future together.
Yeah, exactly. So it's so nice to have you on the show today, because maybe also as an introduction, I can tell you why I'm so interested to talk with you and not any other dating or relationship expert. Because I think what I noticed is your way of seeing things, right? So if you see certain talents of people, then, and if it's real talent, like intrinsic or passionate things, that you can recognize it as another person. So I think definitely I saw this with you. And also that's why I really love to talk together, because this whole podcast show is to just talk with people and create this environment where you can just find out about each other and about how we can connect more and about what's happening inside of your own head and in the head of somebody else, and
maybe make the world a little bit of a better place when we're all done.
Exactly, because this is like the motivation that's behind or below it all, because I really dearly believe that how more you learn about other perspectives and other people, the more you will love each other and grow together. So talking about love, maybe this is a better title for the episode, by the way. Can we talk about love in the workplace? Because I'm sure a lot of people came across this, and especially in a maritime sector, your workplace is also a very closed environment and you have a lot of different people coming in and coming out. And sometimes you just connect with people more than with another person. Yeah. What's your take on this topic?
And a lot of folk in the maritime industry are also young and fit and tan. And what are you going to do?
And adventurous.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I don't come from the yachting industry myself. I worked on a container vessel, so merchant marine. Then I always try to fit into this world of men because, yeah, it's a very male-dominated
world. Like 98%, I think, like the maritime industry, 98% men.
No, there's 0.2% women. 0.2. So you're very much in a minority. So you're seen as some kind of intruder or unicorn or somebody that doesn't fit there at the first. And that's okay, because I can understand this. If you're not used to it, I can understand it. So yeah, but that's a whole other topic.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, as we were saying, you find out how people really feel about some things and you wish you didn't sometimes, but c'est la vie.
Well, yeah. And for me also, so first of all, I think this is a difference with the yachting sector, because for me, it wasn't like 10 beautiful people or, yeah, of course, about 10 beautiful people.
I understand, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I tried to fit in. So I made myself as ugly as possible most of the time and made myself look like a man a little bit as much as possible because I wanted to fit in. But anyway, that's another topic.
Yeah. Yes.
We have to make another episode about this.
Well, this is it. And that's because everything is linked. And yep, the more you can understand each other and yourself just in human ways, the easier you can approach any of these particular challenges or problems. But yes, love in the workplace, I've done it. You've probably done it. People that are listening have probably done it. And it's one of those things, advice is like taking the past out of the gutter, brushing it off and painting it up and passing it off as something better than it was. Basically, you're not going to understand it until you've already gone through it. So everybody says, don't date in the workplace. And you're like, yeah, well, why does everybody say this? I'm just fine. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'll be fine. Well, and you can be, but if it blows up really bad, and you don't realize how bad it can get until it does. And that's all that when people are saying you shouldn't date the workplace, it's just trying to protect you from what's going on also. But also, if you're on a smaller yacht or something and there's a limited amount of crew and all of a sudden there's some weird love triangle and cat fight or dude bro fight going on under the level, it's going to affect how the boat is run, how the ship is run. It's going to affect the upstairs stuff as well too. So it behooves the owners and the captains and the chief stews and stuff to tamp down on this stuff. The problem is you only are around the people that you're around. This is all that you have around you. And most of us are not monks or nuns and have natural human desires. And again, on a small crew, you're on a 6-month charter or something like that for a long time. That's it. And so I think theater, when I was in theater, is a bit like this too. It's very incestuous. This is all we got. So we all just like sleep with each other. And sometimes that can be okay and sometimes not okay. But so it's like one of those things, listen to what I'm saying. Don't date at the workplace. Now that you've completely thrown that advice out and are going to still continue to date in the workplace, let's figure out how we can navigate this. Do you have the least amount of fallout?
Yeah, because that's why I love to talk about this topic so much, because when you just shut it up and just throw it out the window and say you should just never do this. And in most cases in this world, people just say, especially in a merchant marine, women should not work on board of ships because of this reason. If you don't have women, you don't have love in the workplace, which is totally insane. Which is insane. Because,
dude, there's a lot of jokes about the U.S. Navy and seamen. Let's just, yeah, sure.
What about,
no women you need.
Yeah, because what about other love and other relationship? What about bisexual people? What about the gay people? What about other kinds of love? If you don't learn how to behave, then you don't learn how to be in this really safe and good place.
I saw an article recently that they're for a possible Mars mission, they're looking at an all-female crew so there won't be sex in space. Should we tell them? Should we tell them? I really want to tell them. Yeah, no, so it doesn't matter.
That would be nice.
We are humans. And one of the most amazing things about humans is our ability to adapt to any situation. The last 5 years have shown us that in stark terms. We all got through it. You had to get through it. So when we're in these situations with only a few people you start trying to adapt to that situation and you just want to make sure that you've got the most advantages going for you. Yeah. But most of us are, to quote my friend, young, dumb, and full of cum. And so we'll make mistakes and don't have kind of the life lessons under our belts to get through it. And many times there can be a power imbalance in these types of relationships too.
Yeah, so let's dive into that because I think that's a really good way to start how to deal with this. Because talking about love, everybody can understand and everybody can relate to the feeling. But when you talk about power dynamics and leadership influence, in Dutch you have a really nice word for it. This is called ongelijkwaardigheid. And it means not being equal, but also not being worth the same in a way. And I think I never came across an English word that describes it in this layers you have in this in my
life. I like it.
But so I think this is what happens because I don't want to dive into my own story, but in my own experience, things were working really good when we were able to maintain this gelijkwaardigheid. So when we were able to find each other on this similar level of to see each other at the same level. And when it became difficult or when the toxic thing became more obvious, it had something to do with this. And it was like some way that this person went that one and then, but it went slippy.
Yeah, it gets weird.
Yeah, so what do you think about it? Do you have some advice?
Yeah, yes, collecting my thoughts, so many comes back to men because men have more fragile egos than women. It's hidden very well behind a lot of bluster and attitude and things like that as well, too. But men are also very hierarchical. And a lot of my colleagues say they'll throw these singles events in Vienna and India and all different places. And the men will call to ask about the guest list. They're not asking about the women that are going to be there. They're asking about what other men are they going to be standing next to. They want to make sure they are in the right hierarchy. They're not concerned about the women. They're concerned about how they're going to be seen in the men's eyes. So it's just a very animalistic tribal thing back in our ancient brain that has this hierarchy thing. Now, because many men don't have as much emotional intelligence, not even looking at the armed services or the merchant marines as rough, tough, roughnecks and things as well, too, haven't processed how they feel about these hierarchies sometimes. And then you throw in a woman into the mix. And things, like you said, get slippery, slippy, weird. And because there's actually studies shown, so I'm a study junkie. I love reading studies. This is my stack of studies, like annotated and stuff. But they actually did a study on the video game Halo to figure out misogyny, basically, and the biggest thing. And they found that men that were secure in their hierarchy, secure in their status, treated the women benevolently. the men that felt that their place in the hierarchy was threatened by a woman became extremely misogynistic and antagonistic because it's about the hierarchy for them. And so again, you have, in especially in places like ships, where there's a distinct written hierarchy and everyone knows exactly where they are on this, those unconscious feelings of loss of power or hierarchy. I was talking to Margarita, who is an amazing woman, and a phrase that I said to her that she appreciated too was like, to the privileged, equality feels like oppression. And
yeah,
men, let's just use a fake statistic. Men say men are 98% of the maritime industry. If all of a sudden they're 97.5%, they lost something. They feel it's being taken away from them, and they're still 97.5%. You're still overwhelmed, but to them, every advancement they feel now is a loss to them because they look at things as like a zero-sum game. So now you have this person that feels the natural order is out of whack. Even if they don't think it, they feel it, and that comes back to one's own self-worth. Like the crab syndrome, that if one crab tries to escape, everybody tries to pull them back. The best friends you are the ones that celebrate you when you succeed, that are happy for you, that don't feel threatened because of your success. And that's hard to find or suss that out in a partner or in a person. But having a cheerleader, someone that is happy for your happiness, I think if we want to get into the quality, if you have someone in your workplace that is cheering for you, helping you actively try to succeed, get promoted, get to the attention of the captain, that's a much greener flag than other ones. People that are obsessed with rank, men that are obsessed with rank will probably have that slip out in the form of misogyny because humans tend to go after whatever perceived weakness they see. If it was a man, they would call the man gay or something to denigrate them as well. But when it comes to women, it comes out sometimes very violent and very misogynistic to like crazy places.
Yeah. So there's, I think, two things I would really love to talk with you about further, hearing you say this. Because first of all, yes, the workplace is also very hierarchical, right? Especially on ships. It's necessary to have a hierarchy on board of a ship because you need it to be safe, to make sure that the ship is coming from A to B in a safe way. Hearing you say that it's also like a masculine thing to have makes sense. So that's why also I think it's super important to learn about this, to reflect on your own behavior and to see it reflected in your environment on board of a ship or in any kind of other workplace you are in. So feeling secure and not feeling afraid that you will somehow lose your place seems like very good advice for people.
The details of how to get there is always the challenging part of it. But yes, that's what we can hope to aspire to too. Because also, you and I have a little bit of wisdom in us after a couple of years, but you don't at the beginning. And you almost want to make mistakes to just see what happens.
And you need it. Without mistakes, you cannot learn.
Yes.
Because that's like the perfectionist lesson number one. Without mistakes, you cannot learn. Yeah, it's a whole lot of free to learn.
If I didn't make every mistake that I've made in my life, you and I would not be sitting here having this conversation. So but that's becoming okay with who oneself is too, which again, many people also look at the ocean as a way to get away from problems, as opposed to deal with problems. It also can attract a certain sort that hasn't figured their shit out yet.
That's the next thing I wanted to dive a little bit deeper into, and that goes to being conscious of this whole thing. Because I think when you want to run away from something that you don't know, and if you're afraid to dive into something that you don't know yet and that you fear a little, then you hold yourself back from learning, from this whole learning curve, right? From this whole learning experience. When you're conscious about it, you can do something about it. And I think definitely when you feel the urge to escape, then the sea is a very big and nice place to go to. But also it shows you maybe that, at least in my experience, the seafarers that I know have a big longing for adventure and to discover the unknown. And the biggest unknown is the unconscious. With the biggest unknown within yourself is the unconscious, so the dreaming part of your being, so to say, if that makes sense.
So, 100%.
Yeah, so what if you can actually speak to yourself in your dreams and
I've done it.
Give yourself...
Once, yeah. But I've done it. Active dreaming.
Yeah, so you have to be conscious of the things you're not aware of. And I think this is such a big lesson number, I don't know, one, to self-reflection it a bit.
From your mouth to all of our God's ears. Yes, that would be great. Self-reflection would be a wonderful thing. Polonius says, know thyself, right? Easy.
Yeah.
But it's the hardest thing that there is out there. And also because you used a word, fear. Fear's strong, very strong. And fear of pain is usually greater than the actual pain itself. Like you think about going to the dentist or just even a party that you don't want to go to. This is going to suck. And you get there, you're like, it wasn't so bad, all right? Because it's a human survival evolutionary trait to avoid things that are fearful. But one of the things that blew my mind, because we associate pain and fear together as well, too. When one of the things that I do is I take people out into the real world and in New York City to just practice talking to human beings, interacting, be social, practice telling stories, questions, things like that. And so let's say back in the day, I bring a guy out and he would talk to four women and it didn't go the way he wanted it to, and talk to the fifth one and say he got a phone number or something, like a good interaction, something like that. It's great. So you had a 20% win ratio there, right? But he had to walk through four pain points to get there. When online dating really started to become as successful as it was, I found that these men retreated from the real world and would go home and send 100 emails for one positive response, taking their win ratio from 20% to 1%, but they had to walk through zero pain points to get there. So people are more pain avoidant than pleasure seeking. Again, evolutionary trait. If there's five ways to get to the watering hole,
that's
a jaguar. You remember that one. Now that we have this knowledge that this just already exists, like, what do we do about it? How do we counter that? And it's a lot like working out. So life is pain versus pleasure. We move away from that which is pain towards that which is pleasurable. But because we're irrational creatures, we also need to turn that upside down sometimes. And a good example is working out. The actual physical act of working out is pain. But what we do is we link it to the future pleasure of how we're going to look, how we're going to feel, how we're going to be perceived, whatever our own particular carrot is. So it makes that pain doable. And after a while of that linking together, so you get like the runner's high and just pain is weakness leaving the body. Like I used to row crew. Like you have to get through that on the other side of that pain.
It's so horrible.
It makes that current pain, the process, doable, livable. We, as a dater, it can be painful. It can be uncomfortable. You can have fear of loss, fear of all of these things in your head. But you have to figure out what your future pleasure is. Being in a relationship, being in love, having kids, being married, whatever your own particular care again is, because you have to be okay with the process. If you avoid the process or you hate the process, you won't get anywhere. None of us will. We won't do it if we don't like it. And so all of us have to figure out a way to reconnect with ourselves in the process so that we come okay with if I'm feeling uncomfortable, that means I'm growing. That means I'm putting myself in new situations. That means I'm adding to myself. So every time you feel that, you have to learn to start creating new synapses, creating new emotional pathways. This is a good thing that I'm feeling this way. Let me continue pushing myself a little bit too.
Yeah, yeah. And then you learn your nervous system how to feel really safe into what you're doing, right?
And you also realize there's no worst case scenario. So that's it? That's it? Oh, I was fearful of nothing.
Yeah. I think you can give respect to what happened, even if it hurt you. But because I think this is also important, you just see everything, the whole picture, But yeah, but definitely good take on what you need to learn. And also definitely this unconscious thing that we are doing is a thing that we need to work on. I talked on a previous episode together with a psychologist named Anna Wooker about exactly this and how, so she's like looking into psychology in a holistic way. And she very transparently explained how this also works in your brain and in your nervous system and what you're doing, your reactions are and what kind of flags wave into your head. Just to get back on the topic of today, I think I really love to hear you say that to the privileged, equality feels like oppression. And I think that's so interesting when you talk about love in the workplace, when it's like a little bit interfering with the hierarchy, because then the hierarchy feels maybe unconsciously, right? Mm-hmm. Feels this oppression, but also makes me think about a lot of people have to like, so it makes me think about the imposter syndrome a little bit. So when you feel like that's the opposite of people who call themselves the leaders, maybe that's also an American.
Well, I'm sure they've got their own versions of imposter syndrome as well, too, but they just tie
it. I mean, it's also a cultural difference to call yourself, to have a name for the rank you are.
Yes.
And
yes.
Really live that out. So you are not Hunt, you're like Captain Hunt, right? You need this title. And I think looking at the women I know, they don't need this title so much sometimes, or they don't need to be called CEO so much. They like, everybody likes it. But what I would really like to say is that it's also nice to make somebody feel like that, right? So I would love to call you Captain Hunt if you like it. But maybe it can also make you feel more and like you are more of importance than me when I do that. So it also goes back to what I am responsible for in me. Because when I am like totally keeping you up, you're a captain. I'm also doing something with myself. And I'm also changing the relationship dynamics this way.
Yeah, if you're putting somebody unconsciously or consciously or unconsciously up here, they're turning around and looking at you down here. And that's not ideal.
Exactly. So
you can unconsciously put yourself underneath it and not even realize it. And now here's something that's also making it a little bit more challenging is even in ships when women were lower, right? So even if there was workplace romance, to the men, the power imbalance worked in their favor. Now you've got people like Captain Kelly Gordon and some of these other very highly ranked women, which is awesome. But you have men that also may give lip service to, I have no problem with taking orders from a woman, but in actuality, feel a different way about it because they haven't processed that, again, in the hierarchies and things like that. So it just adds yet one more challenge to women in this industry that just for existing, you're threatening their worldview.
Yes. And so that's exactly what I mean. And it would be so interesting to talk with you more about femininity and masculinity and males and females, what the difference is and so we can talk about this further, because I think that's what's happening, especially in the maritime sector when you look at gender differences. So it's really nice to talk with you today on relationships and how those dynamics are. And I love your feedback and I love the take away from the things where we need to work on. It would be very lovely to talk with you more about this.
Would love to. I hope I answered some of your questions. And I know that I sometimes can get excited and go in different directions, but I very much enjoyed the conversation. We'll be here anytime you want.
Yeah, me too. And to the audience who is listening today, I would really love to say that if you have any questions or comments or things that came up into your mind while you listen to this, please share them in the comments or give us a DM if you hear this, because I think it would be so nice to dive a little bit deeper in this whole topic together and learn from each other and learn from what we need to focus on more. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being here, Hunt, and we'll see you the next time.